What is going on, everybody, and welcome to the Westridge Young Adult Podcast. My name is Brad Chandler, and unfortunately, I am alone again this week. My lovely wife is out with the kids, hanging out with some of the grandparents, and so it will be just me and you hanging out for this podcast. But got a few things that we're going to talk about today. I'm excited about it. We got a few kind of, I guess, what do you call them? Sections? No, that's not the right term. What is it? Segments that we're going to do today. And then we're going to have a conversation with Brian Beloy, but not, he won't actually be with us. It'll be dissecting and kind of walking through a sermon that he taught back in the winter that I just thought was really powerful and really good. And I just did this, man, I did this at some point last year and thought it was really fun just to listen to a few bits of a teaching and kind of talk about those together on the podcast. So we'll do that for a little while as well. But leading into this, I just wanted to update everybody on kind of what we've been doing. Summer's always a little bit crazy for everybody. We all do different things. Some of us go on vacations. Some of us take trips. Some of us just continue working or continue doing school or whatever it is we're doing. For us, we have had a lot of off time as far as me taking off from work, but we've been hanging out together as a family. We've been doing a lot of house projects. I'll be honest, I took on a few house projects that I wish I hadn't taken on. I'm trying to paint our foyer, which if you're like, whoa, what's the big deal about that? To me, the big deal about that is that it's a two-story foyer and I hate heights. So I'm having to get up high on this ladder and paint these walls and get all the way up to the ceiling, which is much higher than I'm comfortable with. So I'm being stretched out of my comfort zone. I hate it. I wanna just stop doing it. But I'm gonna keep going because it looks ridiculous having half painted walls. So I am gonna finish, and eventually when I get to the ceiling, I'm gonna have to rent some scaffolding because my ladder's not tall enough. And if I did try to do it with my ladder, I would be freaking out because the ladder would be all shaky and it'd be really high up there. So on the scaffolding, I think I'll be a little bit more secure and feel a little bit better about it. So that'll be the next couple of weeks finishing that project. But started the painting process. I've been changing some outlets at the house. Gonna start building a table for the foyer soon. Been hanging out with the boys, doing all kinds of stuff. Last night we had a Nerf gun war and several people were shot in the face by accident, but everyone survived. All the faces are okay and all the boys are okay. But it was fun. I showed the boys this game that me and my brother used to play when we were growing up. I don't know what we called it. I think we had a name at some point, but the gist of it was we had this downstairs room. It was like our bonus playroom area. And we had a ton of Nerf guns. And not just Nerf guns, but the Nerf bow and arrow thing, if anybody remembers that, where it looked like a bow and arrow and it shot the Nerf arrows. And so what we would do is, if it was just me and my brother, it was just me and my brother, but usually there was at least one friend with us. So there'd at least be two or three people in this room. And we would turn off all the lights and we would close the blinds and we would try to make it as pitch dark as possible. And then there'd be one person out in the hallway. And so the people in the room would kind of get situated and get to a place behind cover, usually behind something like a couch or a chair or table or something. And we'd count to a certain number. And then the person in the hallway would jump into the room and close the door. And because they're coming from a bright hallway and going into the room, it's like pitch black to the person that walks into the room. For everybody else, they can kind of see and they have an idea of where that person is that just walked into the room. So as soon as you get in the room, there's like however many seconds you have to wait, and then it's game on. And then it's just shooting at everybody. And the goal is to obviously try to shoot the other people. And if the people in the room shoot the person who came in, they win. If the person who comes in shoots and hits somebody, then the person that got hit now becomes it, and they have to be the one to go in the hallway for the next round. And so we used to play that all the time as kids. So I showed it to my kids, And my kids are a little bit younger than when we used to play this. And so we go to play this. And my boys don't have the best aim. And again, they're younger than we were when we played this. And so very first time we play it, immediately someone gets shot like right in the face. And people are crying. And it's like, okay, game over. We got to stop doing this. So it didn't really go that great. I didn't get a Father of the Year award for that. And then last night, we didn't play that actual game. We were just shooting at each other. And then eventually people started getting shot in the face again, and we had to stop playing. And then we started just doing like target practice, shooting at things with the Nerf guns. But anyway, that was last night. So we've been doing a lot of hanging out at the pool and playing Nerf guns and playing hide and seek. And my boys always are trying to wrestle and fight. So we do some of that. And it's been a good summer. It's been relaxing, but it's also exciting because the fall is coming, and for fall it means just a lot of new stuff, new school years for the boys, new ministry year at church, and it's exciting to get some of that going here in just a little while. And so in the next month, it'll be getting ready for that and getting prepared. So that'll be a lot of what I'll be doing over the next several weeks. But as I've been hanging out this summer and having a little bit of downtime, I've also jumped into some books. And so I thought this first segment could just be a little bit of, other than the update I just did, that was kind of the first segment. Second segment would be, let's talk about some books, man. I've got, I wanted to tell y'all some of the books I'm reading right now, but also some of the books I've read in the past and make some recommendations to you. I don't know if that's helpful to you, if you're even looking to read anything right now. I don't know if you like to read, but there's a lot of good stuff out there that you could read if you so chose. So I'll tell you what I'm reading now, and then I'll tell you a couple things I would recommend if you're looking to pick up a book this summer to fill up some of your time. So right now, and I literally just started these books this week, but I'm excited about them. One is they're actually both really old books. They've been around for a while. But the first is called The Weight of Glory, and it's by C.S. Lewis. And anything by C.S. Lewis is one of those kind of books where you have to read it and then reread it and then sometimes reread it again just to make sure that you understood what you just read. Because he's just a deep thinker. He has a lot of vocabulary words that he'll use sometimes that you have to be like, wait, do I remember what that word means? But it's really encouraging, challenging stuff, and I've always enjoyed his books when I read them. But The Weight of Glory is—it's about. Now I haven't read the whole thing, so I can't tell you everything it's about. But the general idea, it's about following God while also being able to enjoy God and enjoy life, and as well as just the weight of His glory. And how that's, you know, that's not anything we're meant to have or bear because it's His. But anyway, I'm excited to dig into it, to read through it, and find out even more about what it's about and some of his thoughts and main points there. So I'm reading that. I can't recommend it or not recommend it because I haven't read it, but I'm reading that right now. Another book that I've had for a while and that's been out for a long time is called Bringing Up Boys. And it is by Dr. James Dobson, and he's written books on family and it helps lead a ministry focus on the family. But it's a book I've heard a lot about, a lot of good things about. And again, I haven't read it, so I can't tell you everything that's in it or if I would recommend it or not. But I want to read it right now because our boys are 9, 7, and 5, and if I keep putting off reading books like this, by the time I read it, they'll be too old for it to really have much of an effect. So I want to see what I can learn from it, see what I can use to help me and April to raise our boys as intentionally and purposefully and hopefully healthily as possible, and help them walk with God, know God, and follow Jesus while loving them and guiding and shepherding them through all that. So hopefully that book will really help with that. We shall see what we see. But that's what I'm reading right now. Now, a few books I thought of as far as just recommendations is, man, there's, I've mentioned this one before, but I'll mention it really quickly. Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer, really good book, really challenging as far as expanding maybe your perspective and thoughts on who God is. But another book that really had a big impact on me was a book called It's Not About Me by Max Lucado. And it's a simple and easy to read book, and has just it's a profound kind of mentality that he's talking about, that Max talks about in that book, of just living a lifestyle of realizing your life isn't about you, and realizing that it's all about God. So I would highly recommend that one if you're looking for an easy read, one that could have potentially a big impact on your life. Another book that I would recommend if you are into just being entertained is, and this is another C.S. Lewis, it's a series of books, but it's the series that came out of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but it's a series of books, and it's, I want to say there's 8 of them. I might be wrong about that, but there's several. I've read all of them. They're pretty entertaining and pretty easy to read. They're not nearly as hard to read as his theology books. So I would recommend the whole series from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe if you want to be entertained. Another entertaining series, and I don't know how controversial this is. I know at one point it was, but the Harry Potter books are actually really entertaining and well-written books that I cannot say I've read them all, and my sister-in-law gives me a hard time about the fact that I've only read one of them, but the one I read was the biggest one, and it was very entertaining, and it was fun to read. So those are entertaining books. But another book I would recommend is called Life on Fire by Ronnie Floyd, and it was a book that had an impact on me. It's been out for several years. It was a really good book as well. It kind of a random one, but it's just one I thought of because, again, when I read it, it had a big impact as far as living your life on fire for Jesus. Another book I'd recommend, and this is the last one I'll do just for the sake of time and not trying to overwhelm you with stuff, but it's by Ben Stewart. I think I've talked about it before, or I know I've talked about it on this podcast before, but it's all about relationships. It's single, dating, engaged, married. And it's the newest book on the list that I've just given you, but it's really, really helpful advice and godly wisdom about relationships. And I know a lot of young adults are in stages either looking for a relationship or in a relationship where that wisdom would be super helpful. So I would really recommend that book as well. If anyone out there is looking to read a book, there's some recommendations for you. So hopefully some of that is helpful. So that is our segment on the book reviews / recommendations, what I'm currently reading, and what I would recommend someone else read if they are looking for something to read. So that is that, my friends. Now, real quick, we'll do the What's on Your Mind today, and then we'll jump into a sermon with Brian Bloy. What's on my mind today is, man, just enjoying summer, taking some time to rest, relax, and really enjoy time with God and time with my family. And honestly, the word for me this summer is intentionality. Like, I'm trying to be as intentional as I can. I definitely don't always succeed at that, but I'm trying. I'm trying to be more intentional. I'm trying to look for more ways to be intentional in general in my life. So that is what is on my mind today. So the way we're going to end the podcast or finish up the podcast is going to be something that we did once before, where I've taken one of the teachings from Westridge from a while back with Pastor Brian Bloy, our founding and senior pastor, and it's one on temptation, and we'll play some clips from it. I've kind of broken it up. It's a 41-minute teaching that I've broken up into about 8 minutes, but it's little sections where we play it. I'll comment on it for just a little bit. We'll play the next clip, and we'll just kind of it's kind of like a Cliff Notes version of a teaching from Westridge, but hopefully a real encouraging reminder of some things for us to end the podcast today. So without any further ado, we're going to hang out with Brian Beloy from the past through a recording. So let's play this first clip and then we'll comment on it.
James chapter 1, verse 12. And I'm going to read this from the King James for a reason here. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried," okay, he's tempted, "he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him." James tells us there's a prize, there's a reward for enduring temptation. The word blessed actually means to be happy. Now, it's not a happiness that, you know, we feel like when we just won a football game, or, you know, we've just, you know, won a prize or something like that, where we're doing cartwheels down the aisle. No. This is a deep contentment, happiness that comes from having your life under control. There's a peace, there's an inner joy in your life when we're not spending all of our time managing sin.
So this is kind of the setup for what he's going to teach about for the rest of this particular teaching. And it's all from James, the book of James. And it's highlighting the blessing that comes when we're not wrestling with our sin and we're not constantly feeling like we're giving in to temptation. And so the rest of the teaching is really going to focus on that temptation, what temptation is, how to overcome and move beyond temptation. So let's check out the next clip.
James says, when you understand temptation's goal and who's behind it, and you learn to consistently say no to it and overcome it, then you're really going to understand what it means to live life.
So the promise here is that we're going to get life when we aren't giving in to temptation and when we aren't falling victim to sin. So we want to pay attention to this. Obviously, it's going to be good stuff. So let's check it out.
Temptation is always going to be present in life. Here's a fact. In this life, you are going to be tempted. And not just once, but over and over and over again.
So this is important for us to remember, that temptation is going to always be coming. We need to expect it. We need to know it's there. We don't need to like turn a blind eye to it or stick our head in the sand, because it is a reality in which we live because of the fallen world in which we live because of sin. So next clip.
We are all going to deal with temptations, and many of you and many of us are dealing with the very same kind of temptations right now. Matter of fact, if we were to throw everyone's life up here on the screen right now, and you saw everything, everybody could see what was going on in your life right now, okay, you would be relieved at some point, but you'd also be very saddened because to see how many people are struggling with the very same thing you do.
I just thought that was a great reminder of the fact that you're not the only one struggling with the temptation that you're struggling with, not only in general, but specifically. There's other people who struggle with the same thing that you struggle with or that I struggle with. So that's encouraging, and kind of like Brian said, it's sad too, but it's just good to know you're not alone. The next thing is such a good reminder and something that maybe not everybody knows. I think sometimes we can trick ourselves into thinking the opposite of this, but check out this quick little statement from this teaching next.
But here's an extremely important truth to remember about temptation that we need to be reminded of from time to time. It is not a sin to be tempted.
Say what? Not a sin to be tempted. I think it's important to know that. So you could have a thought about wanting to do something, so you're tempted to do it. Or a situation presented to you in which you're tempted to do something or act a certain way or say something that you know is wrong, that is not the sin, the actual temptation.
The writer of Hebrews tells us that when Jesus lived on this earth, he was a man, but he was also God. He lived a perfect sinless life. He was tempted to sin with the very same things that we're tempted with, but yet he never gave in to any of it.
So this is why we put our hope and our trust and our faith in Jesus, because he's gone through this life, been tempted, and not given into it. He has not sinned. We have. We give in. We have messed up. We have given in to temptation. But this kind of goes back to the previous point of this proves that just being tempted is not sin. It's the giving into the temptation that is sin. Jesus was tempted, yet he didn't sin. So the temptation was there, but he did not give into it. He did not let it win. He overcame.
Temptation is never prompted by God. Verse 13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. One of the big mistakes we make when it comes to temptation and sin is the blame game.
Yeah, so here it's a big deal for us to remember God's not the one who is like tempting us. He's not the one who wants us to ever sin, so it makes no sense for him to be the one to be tempting us. So we don't want to ever try to put the blame on him, because that would just be wrong. But we also don't need to just try to blame other people. And Brian kind of goes on to talk about the blame game and how we all can fall victim to that and start to point fingers at other people. It's their fault. It's someone else's fault. It's basically redirecting to anyone other than ourselves, to the fault going to, you know, them instead of us.
God never leads anyone into temptation or into sin. It's absolutely impossible. Because of his holiness, because of his perfection, it is impossible for him to be connected to sin.
Again, just another great reminder that it is not God who tempts us.
And you can't blame Satan either, because he can't make you sin. The devil made me do it, that's just a phrase, that's not true. Satan's role in sin is to throw something sinful in front of you and to make it look really enticing so you will choose to sin. And Satan knows exactly what tempts you. He doesn't have to be too tricky. He's only got just a few plays in his playbook, but he has your game film.
The classic Brian Blois sports analogy, which is really helpful here, because when you're preparing for an opponent in a lot of different sports, you watch game film on that opponent. You try to learn their weaknesses. You try to learn how you can attack them in a way where you're going to find success. And here, Brian's just helping us understand and reminding us of the fact that Satan has our game film. He knows our weaknesses. He knows ways in which for us to be tempted and to fall victim to those temptations. So you can blame temptation on Satan, but you cannot blame falling to temptation on Satan. So that being said, he's still super crafty, and he definitely knows some things about you. So it's not like he's just going to throw easy stuff out there at us.
You will never have victory over sin until you take full responsibility for your decisions.
Ouch, but it's true. We have got to own and know that we're the ones who sin. Like, if we are constantly blaming other people or we're not taking responsibility for when we sin, then it's really, how in the world can we know or see that we need a Savior? You know, that is why we need Jesus and why we need to depend on Him, not only for salvation, but we need to depend on Him for victory over sin daily.
Temptation does not warn you in advance. It always catches you by surprise.
Some of these clips are faster than others, but that's just a sweet little nugget right there of just, we've got to be on our guard. Like, we got to know that temptation can come at any point, and it's not going to give you an email heads up. It's not going to text you and say, on my way. Like, it's just there.
In the second letter to the church in Corinth, the Apostle Paul warns this church, okay, very specifically, to be aware of Satan's temptation to create disunity in the church, in the body of Christ. He challenges this church to walk in obedience. Why? Because he says in verse 11, so that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes.
So for the sake of unity and for the sake of obedience to God, we've got to be aware of temptation, and we've got to be ready for it.
And the one thing that we need to understand about temptation is that it's a process. It's rarely just an event.
Man, these are so good. So yeah, it's not like it just happens once and it's gone, right? Sometimes Satan will just keep coming at you multiple times, sometimes small, sometimes big, until he wears you down.
Verse 15, then desire when it is conceived gives birth to sin. Disobedience is always a willful act.
So this is a tough one to swallow sometimes, but again, it's taking responsibility for the fact that we are the ones who ultimately will make a decision to sin. So it's willfully disobeying God. It's choosing to do that. And it might have taken time, it might have been a process, but it was deliberately chosen to disobey.
Sin is a deliberate action or an attitude or a thought that goes against God's law.
So I thought this was important to keep in there. This is just a quick definition of sin. and just to help us know what we're talking about when we say sin. It's deliberately something that's against God's will, his law, something he says. And so it helps us to really know that, so we're not, you know, confused on our terms.
You cannot overcome temptation by fighting temptation. You overcome it by changing the way you think.
So we've already said we got to take responsibility. It's the deliberate act in which we sin. And so that means we made a decision at some point to sin. So if we're going to change the decisions we make, we got to change the way we think. It makes total sense, but we can't just fight it. So it's not like I'm just going to not do it and will ourselves to not give in to temptation. It really is a changing of our mind.
Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, after we come to Christ to be our Savior, we become a believer, a follower of Jesus. He says, we need to put off our old self, which is part of your old life before Christ. And then he says, that is corrupt with deceitful desires. The only way that you're ever going to be able to put off your old self is to know yourself. You got to know what you're putting off. You got to know what is it that tempts me? What is it that I struggle with? What was that old life before that has kind of crept into this new life?
This is a great spot to reference the definition of insanity, right? To continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. If you know that you give in to a particular temptation and it leads you to sin, then you need to put off that temptation. You need to get yourself out of that situation. You need to not allow yourself to be put in that place if that is something that you've fallen victim to in the past.
Now, let me tell you a lie that Satan plants in our minds just over and over. It's like he has a field day with this lie. It's like this: God is holding out on something that is good for me just to mess with me.
Now, Satan's referred to as the father of lies. He is the ultimate deceiver, right? So he is going to constantly try to get us to question God. He's going to constantly try to get us to question his goodness, his character, his will, and if we're really doing what he wants, or, you know, there's all kinds of things he's going to try to get us to guess and to try to question. And it's all just a scheme. It's all just a plan that he has for us to kind of nibble away and wear away at our desire to be obedient to God and to trust God. And if he can get us to not trust God, man, he's got us right where he wants us.
So what Satan uses, he uses doubt to mess with our mind.
So there again, our mind is really important in whether or not we make the conscious decision to fall victim to sin and to give in to that temptation, whatever it might be. So our mind is huge, and Satan's trying to get us to doubt, to mess with our thoughts.
So when we focus our minds on God's character of goodness, listen, it's hard for us to want to sin.
So if we're not questioning God's character, if we're not doubting, then it is so much easier to not give in to sin and to remain faithful to him, because we know he is faithful.
So you win the battle over temptation by knowing yourself, by knowing God's character, by knowing the words of God, the words in this book. This book will starve sin.
So here it is laid out really simply as far as how you're going to be able to continue to find victory over temptation and not give in to it anymore. And it's all dependent on God, about his character, about what he says, about who he says you are and who I am. And so it's all going to come back to him at the end of the day.
Finally, here's what you do. You have to renew your mind, and you win over temptation by here knowing God's plan.
And we know that from Romans 12:2. We have our minds renewed, and we're able to know God's pleasing and perfect will by knowing his voice and knowing what he says.
If we are that special to God, then it is beneath our dignity to continue to walk in sin.
Brian's reminding us here that we are the children of God. We're his sons and his daughters. And because of that, because of our identity in Jesus, then it's beneath us to give in to temptation. Like, we're called beyond that. We are meant to live in the victory that we were given through Jesus because of his victory, because of his righteousness. We can now be righteous. So for us to give in to temptation is really to belittle him and to belittle what Jesus has done by not living in that power and authority and not living in our new identity as his son and his daughter.
When we continue to walk in sin, I want you to know you're better than that. You're better than that. You've literally been chosen by God to be his people.
And he wraps up with just, again, a reminder and encouragement to all of us to live in our identity as his kids and to not continue to fall victim to temptation, to fall into disobedience and sin, but to live in the authority, the love, the grace, and the truth of the gospel, which now means we are better than that because he is better than that. So I hope that was encouraging to you guys. I know it really was to me. It's not anything we ever move beyond. It's not like we ever are no longer tempted and we don't need this anymore. Like you're always going to be tempted. I'm always going to be tempted. There's evil that does not want good to continue to grow and have victories in the world. Therefore, you know, that's going against all the things God's trying to do in and through us. And so, temptation is going to continue to be a thing that wants to sidetrack us, get us off the path of life and following after Jesus with everything we've got. And man, that is the hope of the world because he is the hope of the world. And so I hope that there's some things in that teaching. And if you want to go back and listen to the whole teaching, by the way, it's on our Westridge website at westridge.com. You can find previous teachings, and this is the one from the life of James and the book of James, but it's about temptation, the war on temptation. And so anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you have an amazing week, and I hope April is back with us next time we have a podcast. I know another podcast we're going to have, it's either the next one or the one after, will be our live recording from our young adult gathering, which will actually be an interview with some young adults, which I'm excited about. So I hope you guys enjoy that. If you have any questions or need anything from us, man, please feel free to reach out. Let us know. You can reach out to me at the church. You can email us. You can check out our website. But my email address is bradc@westridge.com. Feel free to let me know if I can ever do anything for you. But love you guys. Have an amazing week, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
For more information about Westridge Church and our young adult ministry, please go to westridge.com/YA.